The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposo. I'm here with the First Lady of Jefferson, Janet Chandler.
Good morning.
And Wynn Carpenter, the one and only.
Yeah, partner in crime, huh?
Yes. And our famous producer.
Hat Man.
A.K.A. Dave.
Dave. Glad to be here.
Good. We're glad to have you. We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading. KCNR Studios, you can hear us on 96.5 FM where the music does sound better at 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. You can listen to us. We stream live at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com. And we archive forever.
And ever.
Yes. And if you have a question or a comment, you can call into 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. 4567. Well, lots of stuff going on in Shasta County. Holy moly. You know, what can I say?
What can you say? You're just like, okay.
Now, we were supposed to be having Mark Baird calling in this morning. He'll be talking about his Second Amendment court case, but until that time, or I know there's a lot of stuff going on up there in Siskiyou County, and I know he's got some I've got to fix it stuff. He has to do on his ranch. But there's so many things going on here in Reading with so many different groups that we really need to start paying attention to a lot of these groups that say they represent us. And talking about that, Wynn does have an announcement.
Yeah, we have a flyer that was sent to us, and they wanted us to announce it today, so we're doing so. It's the Yes on 36 Forum. Former Sacramento County Sheriff John McGinnis. And my text is very small. My eyes are very bad. Let's see. Joining us are our North State Sheriffs, District Attorneys, Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and Reading Mayor Tanessa Audette for a community forum on Prop 36. Monday, October 28th. So that's tomorrow, 6 p.m. at the community room in the Reading City Hall at 777 Cypress Avenue. Downtown or in Reading, come learn about and why we need yes on Prop 36.
Yep, we do need a yep on Prop 36.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, getting back to some of the things we have going here locally, there's been a lot of consternation about certain things that we're into the season now of endorsing. We're into the season now of getting close to voting. And we have to start really looking at how this is going to impact us. I know we have a meeting on Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors, and apparently we have...
There's going to be stuff coming out there, and, you know, passions run high, emotions run high. So people need to... ground themselves. Let's all act like adults and do the right thing, the responsible thing, and make sure that we're playing by the rules and don't turn into those other guys. You know, you don't want to do that. So let's all be adults about this.
Well, we do have Mark on the phone, I believe. Hey, Mark, you have to write in from the lower 40, or what's going on, buddy?
Good morning. I've just been waiting for you to finish your announcements and stuff.
Oh,
there you go. Good luck.
Our only announcement is what the hell is going on in California with the Second Amendment. We know you can tell us that. Go ahead.
Let's expand on that. What the hell is going on in the state of California, period.
Boy,
country.
There. they've stolen your liberty. They're stealing your property. They're stealing your money. They're making some of the most ridiculous laws that they don't even pass common sense muster. This is a debt ship sinking with all hands on board. The governor is a tyrant and a liar and has destroyed small business in California. 1 million people bailed out of the state last year. Tens of thousands of businesses are leaving, and we have no means to defend ourselves from any of this stuff. And so the Second Amendment comes straight to mind, because you can't defend free speech unless you have something to do it with. You can't defend freedom of the press unless you have something to do it with. You can't defend against tyranny unless you have a means to do that. You can't defend life unless you have a means to do that. And in California, both statutorily and practically, you don't have the means to do that. I mean, you may be able to get, according to my court documents, the state says you may be able to get a permit. They may give you that permit. You may exercise that permit according to the rules that they've issued. And in most places, if you can't concealed carry within 1,000 feet of a school, like say in Yreka, you can't carry in town, because every place is within 1,000 feet of a school. In fact, you couldn't even drive by on I-5 with a concealed weapon, because I-5 is within 1,000 feet of a school. So there you have it. And we have the means to do something about that. I'm in the process of doing it. If people will help me financially, I can win this case. It is tortured. Let me tell you, the court is doing everything they can to get rid of me. But the evidence is clear, and I have a 3-judge panel that unanimously not only has already supported our evidence and issued a unanimous ruling in favor of our evidence, but has jurisdiction on the case that comes back before them, and our evidence hasn't changed. It's simply gotten stronger, and the state's evidence has gotten weaker. So we can win this, folks, and we can restore some measure of liberty from which we can take the rest back. But I have to have help in this. I just can't do this by myself. There's no way.
Hey, well, Mark, how did the elected do all of this to us? I mean, we are the governor because we gave them the authority to do that by voting them into office to represent us. How did it get so screwed up? How did it get so bad over the course of time that, you know, we are where we are now? How did that happen, and how do we legally, lawfully correct that short of going to court where you're fighting the system? How do we do that? There's got to be a way to flip the switch back. There's got to be a way to undo what's been done. How do we do that? Or is there a way to do that?
Well, the first thing we have to recognize is, how did we get here? That's where you always have to start. Number one, follow the money. Follow the money, you'll see how we got where we are. Let's just look at the propositions on your sample ballot and see who's in favor of the most egregious ones. The California Nurses Association, the California Teachers Association, people represented, in essence, and all the people represented by CalPERS. The money comes from CalPERS. It flows through these unions. You're literally, if you're a state union member, you're funding your own destruction, because they take your union dues, even in spite of the Janus case, the Supreme Court case that said union members can declare to their union not to use their union dues for political purposes. The state ignores that case completely. Nobody's doing anything about it. And they use your union dues against the citizens of the state of California, by the way, who pay your salary. So these unions and the state make sure that they're fat with people, because no one's going to bite the hand that feeds them. And I see that in Cal Fire bases all over the state. Well, you know, boy, you know, we sure love our benefits. And then as soon as they qualify for CalPERS, they get the money and move to Nevada, so that they don't have to suffer under the same regulations that they subject their fellow citizens to.
Right.
But so it is the state and the state's unions and that money that we're funding our own destruction with that money. That's how we got where we are. How do we undo it? Well, we have to stop the influx of people who vote with their hand out, and the state fills their hand with money every time. They spent $27 billion on illegal aliens this year, and only $2 billion on veterans.
Yep.
I mean, you know, look at the ratio of how the money is spent. Free driver's licenses. Oh, you're registered to vote the minute you get a driver's license. Oh, California prevents people from asking for voter ID when they go to vote. How do those three things mesh? You come here illegally, you get a driver's license, you're registered to vote, and no one can ask you for ID when you do vote. There are 2.7 million state employees. That's almost enough to win any election in California all by itself. And when you figure the 2.7 million state employees, their families, their wives, their children, their aunts, uncles, and parents, well, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds their children or feeds their husband or feeds their brother or sister. So there you have enough votes to win the election every time. And here's the sad reality in California. Of all the people who are registered to vote, less than half of them do vote. And so and half of that half is liberal, and almost all of those people are enabled by the state employee union, SEIU, California Teachers, California Nurses, CalPERS-type entities. So there you have your majority in the election every time. It's a rigged game in California.
Yeah, I think you're that's whatever cheating.
Yep. And then you have to add on to that whatever cheating goes on. I mean, there's lots of dead people that vote in California. You know, some counties have 110% registered voters. Right. Well, how does that happen? You know,
well,
you only have 100%
of those
people.
In that case, that county should have all of their votes removed. They should not count. If they're going to be criminal like that and say 110% turnout, no. Unacceptable on every level. I mean, you wouldn't accept that if you're playing Monopoly with somebody. I mean, if you're playing Monopoly against Terry and he cheats by 110%, you're going to reach across the table and you're going to knock him out of his chair. We need to do that with all of our ROVs, because look at what we have here. You have to have an ID and your Social Security card presented for employment to work at the ROV office, correct? Now, if we're going to tabulate the votes, which is one of the best things we could ever have, shouldn't we have to show our ID?
Don't you have to do that even with Tylenol?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's illegal now to show your ID.
Well, no, not for employment. Employment is a different story. They have to prove, you have to prove who you are for any governmental agency.
I was being facetious.
Most private industries, you have to have that. They have to have it on the record, part of your personnel file. Well, I see the vote just as important, and my vote is just as important as having a personnel file, because that's my history of how I vote, and I want to be able to make sure that whatever information about me or anybody else is private and it's kept there. But we need to be able to show our ID to show that we indeed are voting and not being our number isn't being used by somebody else for nefarious issues. That's all I'm asking. And also, the big thing is I want to be able to track my vote electronically. I want to go back through and see, hey, if my ballot is truly being scanned into this wonderful little system that they claim to work like it's supposed to, I want to be able to see my ballot. And if my ballot isn't tabulated the way I voted, I want to raise holy hell with them. And I want everybody else to be able to do the same. So I don't know. Those are the kind of questions that I'm looking at, just basic stuff.
Just basic stuff. And, you know, every county should do this and every county should do that, but who is making them? And the answer in most counties is no one.
That's why we have to go to the Board of Supervisors, because the ROV is an elected position. Even if they are appointed, they're still considered elected until the next election, correct? And or until they are recalled. And we might even have to do a recall on ours here. You never know what's going on, because if they're not going to do the job, then they don't need to be there. They don't need to be earning that good salary that they're getting and all the benefits. And if they're not going to do the job, then they need to get out. And if we, the people, need to call them out, then we need to call them out.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But here's the essential problem. And this is, so we know how we got here. We know what's happening here. We should know anyway. It's plain as the nose on your face. But here's our problem. We can't get Christians and gun owners to get off their lazy backpacks.
Absolutely correct.
I mean, look, if all of the registered voters would simply go vote, we could probably take this state back in one election cycle. But they don't. Why don't they? They feel hopeless. They're told by their pastor, oh, Christians should stay out of politics. There are a multitude of reasons. Laziness, apathy, depression, you know, the downtrodden economic situation in this state. People don't care about voting. They're just planning their getaway. I mean, there are many reasons why people who could change this situation don't even try. And we have to get to the root causes of those things and flip that script.
Well,
and we have to prevent the illegals from voting. We need to prevent illegals from entering our country to begin with. It's a crime. We need to go back to enforcing the law. And our governor, who should be in an insane asylum as the head inmate, instead prevents all of those things. And his criminal attorney general, who and their minions who lie in court, they'll stand there and lie, bald face, and there's no recrimination. And then we have a court system that has no accountability. And in California, the Eastern District and the Ninth Circuit pretty much works for the state of California. They will parrot anything the state of California says. So we have a deck that's stacked. I would say out of the, 54 cards, there are about 51 of them that are against us. But that does not mean we can't fix this. We simply have to have some rallying cry. We have to have some basis, some leadership to begin to turn this around and flip this script.
Because I don't think we can flip the script. I think we need to split the state. I just don't see.
Split the state. I prefer splitting the state too, because then we only have to reach half of the state, not the whole thing in parts that we're never going to change.
The time has come.
But
for 51.
But the point is, we have to have some method and some means to begin that effort that's going to be effective. Look, we've tried court to the tune of $1 million. We've tried petitioning the legislature and got crickets for an answer, even from our own people. Our own people are spineless and gutless in those positions. None of them will stand up and tell the truth because it is against at least part of the narrative to which they subscribe. And I can't imagine why. It really confuses me.
They like it the way it is.
Well, they have a little crown, but it's pulled down tight around their ears.
Right.
That's the point. And so we have to get past all of those things. In my opinion, the only way now open to us, besides a revolution, which we wouldn't win and shouldn't even contemplate at this point, is a statewide initiative to break California in half. And I do think that people who have been silent thus far, if they saw the opportunity to escape this tyranny and not have to move to Reno to get what they need and what they want and what they deserve, we have a chance of winning that. But that statement alone is probably going to cost about $2 million.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I agree with that. And I just want to get this in because I think this is important. And you're right about the initiative. I believe you're right about that.
I do too.
You know, the thing is that when you look at these churches, we say, if we can get the people in the churches to vote. Hey, I know a lot of Democrats that are in churches. I know a lot of Democrats that are going to church. I know a lot of Democrats that are totally against a lot of things and for, oh, we need to help the homeless in any way we can. And, you know, we just need to pray. And I'm not saying that all that stuff isn't good things that should be done. But frankly, there's a lot of times when we get the faith card thrown at us when we're fighting for liberty. And pastors do that. I actually had a pastor in a well-known established church. In fact, this guy was part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, a pastor. They have thousands of churches. And this particular guy said, I don't vote. I don't vote. And I don't encourage people to vote. So I think that we've gone with this fight with the moral majority all voting. How do we know they're going to vote our way? How do we know they all like Trump?
Well, we don't know any of those things, but we do know that they don't vote, and if they would vote, it could change the dynamic. It's a hope anyway, and I think that people of good character, I trust the people of good character to know what that means. There are a certain percentage of them that are leftists, but they're not being faithful to God, because resistance to tyranny is faithfulness to God. I mean, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, give to God what's God's. Well, if you're not protecting life, liberty, and property, and the pursuit of happiness, then you're not being faithful to God, because those are the rights that God gave you.
And also, so too, if they're truly a leftist, and they're claiming to be Christian, they are diametrically opposed to one another, because they're supporting a party that wants to abort babies. And you think God's going to be happy with that? They're not going to get anywhere near the pearly gates. They're going to be going downstairs where it's really warm.
Mark, getting back to this idea of splitting the state, I have been hearing a lot lately about New California. Would you please take this opportunity to explain the difference between the ideas of the state of Jefferson and what New California is proposing, and why one is better than the other?
Well, I very quickly, I mean, first of all, I'm well acquainted with the founder of New California, Paul Preston. He used to be a Jefferson guy. He got mad at me one day, and then he started New California, and he got mad at me for something truly stupid. But at any rate, New California claims to have 55 counties already. Well, there you go. You got 55 counties. Form your New California. What are you waiting for? I mean, I was on their website for 2 years as the coordinator of New California in Siskiyou County, and I can tell you for a fact, I only got one phone call in 2 years, and by the time the phone call was over, the guy was not a New California person anymore. He was a Jefferson guy. So New California is a myth, and it's a money scam, and the only thing they know are things that they learned from us. I started that Second Amendment lawsuit, and the people of Jefferson generously supported me, and all of a sudden New California comes out in favor of the Second Amendment, but did absolutely nothing. New California talks a lot, but they don't do anything, and they won't do anything, because quite frankly, they don't have near the support that they purport to have. Jefferson is real. We've done real things to split this state. We've done real things to restore liberty. We're not stopping. We're still fighting. We run into a lot of roadblocks because the status quo is a very powerful enemy, but we're not quitting. And when we do something, it's a real thing. If we propose a state initiative, we're going to try to follow through with that. Our court case, we followed through with that. I mean, none of this in Jefferson is pie in the sky. We're doing the things we're talking about. Where New California just has a conference once in a while, it costs you $150 to get in or whatever it is. You have a good lunch, you listen to a speech, and you go home and do nothing. So the difference between New California and Jefferson is immense and amazing, because New California represents absolutely nothing, and Jefferson is a real thing.
Yeah, and the basis in which they gauge everything isn't even constitutional. I mean, you know, we had a fellow who stood up at our Board of Supervisors and announced himself as the
Senator
for Shasta County for the state of New California, and he was serious. And I'm thinking, okay, let me get this straight. You're the senator of a state that doesn't exist. Voted and you were never voted in. You just picked yourself. Is that the way you did it? I never voted for you.
I didn't get a ballot in the mail for that one.
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to go off to our break a little bit early here, only because I want to keep you over, Mark, and we've got a lot of other questions. I'd like you to expand also a little bit more, and I think it's important about the moral majority, because I've been hearing that a lot lately. I want you to expand on that a little bit more, because what I'm seeing is there seems to be a path of resistance against any kind of usurping the government. And I see that on a local basis a lot. In fact, I was the victim of a phone call on another radio station saying that basically we don't have empathy for the homeless and how we can help these people and all this other stuff, and we really should be looking at our faith first, which I agree. But that doesn't mean you don't stand up for what God's given us and being a good steward of the blessings he's given us. So with that, I want to go off to our break. And
justice delayed is justice denied.
It is. Okay, my brother, hold on, and we'll be back on the other side. Time has come.
For 51.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family. Their house is a museum, when people come to see them, they really are a scream, the Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
So get
Harvest.
harvest time means cash time at Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us for our $50,000 cash harvest. Swipe to win drawing. Swipe your free River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes. Win up to $200 free slot play at weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Don't miss the final drawing on September 26th and October 31st for a chance to win up to $2,000 cash. For complete details, see WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Now at the Turtle Bay Museum, Mindbender Mansion, Unlock the Puzzle. On exhibition now through January 5th, featuring interactive games, challenges, brain teasers, and more. Perfect for families of all ages and school groups. Test your brain power and problem-solving skills now at Turtle Bay Museum. Don't miss out on this immersive exhibition. Mindbender Mansion, Unlock the Puzzle. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
During the break, you brought up a great point, and, you know, I mean, we keep hearing the same thing over and over. Well, if the moral majority would all vote, but tell the folks what you just told us.
Oh, I'm way out on the fringe on some things, and this is one of them. I don't want everybody to vote. I only want those people to vote who have looked at the ballot measures and the candidates the same way I have, and they're going to vote like me. Otherwise, I don't want you at the polls.
I agree.
Why should I encourage people to vote who are voting wrong? You know, it used to be that the candidates were more aligned with each other, and there were some nuances of different ideas and feelings. But now, you're voting between good and evil.
Right.
And
right,
I don't want you to go to the polls and vote for evil. I'm fighting too hard for the good.
Or submission to evil.
Submission, yes. I will not comply and I will not submit. So if you're not going to vote correctly, stay home.
There you go.
I'm working too hard to correct my country. Well, and another one is, well, compromise. No, there is no compromise between good and evil. There's only good and there's only evil. There's nothing in between. So if you want to vote for someone who is going to destroy our country, stay home. I'll even send you lunch.
There you go. And don't mail in your ballot.
That's right. Vote correctly
or don't vote. Yep.
Yeah. And if you don't know how to vote, if you're not sure, don't vote. Don't guess. Or call me and I'll tell you how to fill out your ballot. Otherwise, get out of the way and let me save my country.
There you go.
There it is. Mama Jefferson has spoken.
Wham!
There you go, Mark. What say you, my friend?
Our problem is that's exactly what the other side says.
But they're wrong.
Vote. And if you want to vote for evil, vote for conservative. And if you're evil, vote for a conservative. And, you know, if you don't agree with me, don't stand
up. The problem is, how is that working for you? Which direction is our country going? Is our country better off with evil?
Well, of course not. But when you talk to these people, they're claiming that the evil is not to vote for the evil. I mean, so what we have to do is somehow we've got to present the facts in a way that they understand. And I think Donald Trump has gone a long way to do that because he has the money and the political power and he has some media horsepower and he's presenting the case where people are saying, hey, wait a minute, the guy's right. The emperor has no clothes on and we need to ride that wave because I think it is possible for people to wake up and vote differently. And they won't do that if they stay home. They have to vote differently. But what we need to do is press that issue. We have to somehow get down onto Main Street and ask people, do you truly think it's okay to suck every dollar out of your pocket you have in order to spend it on stuff that doesn't create any real meaning in your life or makes your life worse and makes the lives better of criminals and so on and so forth? I mean, we've got to get that message onto Main Street so that people who don't vote, or even people who vote incorrectly, can hear the truth and have the truth set them free.
Hey, Mark, I want to get your opinion on something else. Proposition 36, how deep does that really go? Do you have any insight on that? Well, do you have any insight on that?
Well, it doesn't go deep enough. It's
go
just
ahead.
A start.
Go ahead.
It is simply a start. It means that if you have two strikes, then stealing something that's worth less than $9.50 is a felony in some cases, and you know, no, it's not perfect by any means. I mean, it's nothing like what we need, and then they're very careful to say how much it will increase state costs because obviously you're going to be putting people in jail for being thieves and crooks. It's a Band-Aid. It's a start. That's all. That's the only proposition I'm voting yes on because it is a start. But no, it's not what we need. It's not near what we need.
Yeah, I mean, I just get tired of it's almost like an appeasal. Everything just seems to be something that is, it's just okay. They'll let you have one small cookie out of the cookie jar.
The problem is that Prop 36 does not even take us back to pre Prop 47. It isn't even as good as what we once had.
No, not by a long shot. It's a start. Like I said, it's the only proposition I'm voting yes on. I'm a no on all of them.
Well, you got to get caught three times, right?
Okay, Mark, if that's how you feel, I will let you go to the polls and vote. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you're too late because I already voted.
Me too.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, we have constitutional guarantees, and it's funny. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a book called The Lives of the Signers. It was written in 1848. It used to be an elementary school book or a junior high book. And I remember reading it when I was in school, and it outlines the lives of the signers of the Declaration. And it was funny because there is a short paragraph in there that says to the colonists, however, the subject presented itself in a very different light. They had placed themselves on these shores, which were then desolate. When people came to California, it wasn't filled with government waiting for them to show up. They came and they formed the government that they had. They didn't ask any assistance from a government in Great Britain. The people who came to California weren't begging the government of the United States to fund their arrival or make sure that their living was good or make sure that they had medical care or high-speed internet or any of that stuff. They came and they forged lives for themselves. And those lives were based on liberty. And the Constitution of the State of California and the Constitution of the State of Jefferson is based on Christian morality and Christian principles depending upon God as the highest judge of our morality and our actions. And we are accountable to God first and foremost, and secondly to the law and to government. We are not subservient to government. God is above government. The rights that he bestows upon us are more, have more force of authority than those of government, because they are above government. They're above government's policy table to change. That's what the Constitution of the State of California was formed on. Was it perfect? No. Is the Constitution of the State of Jefferson perfect? Probably not, but it's pretty darn good. And so it is a basis for morality and right and righteousness to take precedence over the whims of the idiots in the state legislature. And then when we made the state legislature in California a full-time job, oh, Katie barred the door, the downhill slide got to be pretty steep after that, because now these people have nothing to do all day long but grind out paper for one another. I mean, the creepiest bills in the legislature, like the reparations bill, and you're, you know, where you're going to repay former slaves in a free state, by the way, because California wasn't a slave state.
Right.
That passed 50-0. And the people who didn't vote abstained, probably. But the point is that these people never buck the system now. They all vote for each other's idiocy because they want their idiocy to pass when it's their turn to put something stupid up. We've got to stop all that stuff. Jefferson is the only way, but
yeah,
we also have to have the means to resist tyranny. And that's what my Second Amendment lawsuit is about, to maintain and to reinstill the means to resist tyranny. I mean, in the State Water Board, just got handed a real big surprise by the legislature. They now have the right to fine people over the use of real property in California when they say you can't use it. So just think about this. Let's say it's the Automotive Control Board, okay? And they just got a gift from the legislature where they say, look, pollution is too high. We're not saving the environment. You have the power to tell people when they can and cannot use their cars. And you have the power to fine them $5,000 a day if they disobey your edict, your bureaucratic edict. So that means you go out to your car on Wednesday. Ooh, I'm sorry, Wednesday's a no-drive day. Well, I need insulin for my wife. She's going to die. Well, gee, that's too bad because Wednesday's a no-drive day. That's what they're doing to water rights in the state of California, not just mine, everybody. So when a bunch of unelected bureaucrats manufacture whatever evidence they have to say that using your legitimate, constitutionally guaranteed real property right to water your ground, to produce the food and fiber that all Californians would like to see on their dinner plate or on their, you know, in their clothing every day, that you can be fined for using that property to grow food and fiber because an unelected bureaucrat says he can do it. That's the tyranny that the Second Amendment provides us leverage against. Because I'm telling the state of California now, if you want my water, you better come armed.
You know, all that is so true and really a bit scary when you stop and think about it. You know, the initiative, you know, a lot of thinking, praying, talking with folks, the initiative that you're proposing, Mark, I believe is the only way forward that's peaceful that we haven't exhausted. Now, it was done in 1992. And passed.
But it was a plebiscite in 1992. It had no weight.
Right.
It would not be a plebiscite this time.
Yes. And I think you're right. And I think that you would have the full support of a lot of people. So I think it's imperative that we start to, and we'll, right after the election, start to really push for that kind of initiative. Now, in our initiative,
Terry, let me stop you right there because I want to simplify the arithmetic.
Okay, go ahead, buddy.
All we really need would be, say, 4,000 people to give $500. That's not very many people, and in this day and age, that's not a ton of money. Or we need 2,000 people to give $1,000 each. And I'm here to tell you, if the Commission for Fair Representation gets a $1,000 check from someone, my $1,000 check will be the second one in the bucket.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that I think that before we start asking for donations, which we need to, but of course, you're 1,000,000,000% right, we need to have some sort of basis on how this is going to have some teeth, unlike the 1992 initiative that didn't have enough weight. It certainly had support. So how do we have... So that's what I'm talking about, is getting some way. We have to really start focusing on the real answer here, because we've just run out of them. I'm sure the New California people that are listening to this will copy what we're talking about right now. And
I don't care.
I know, I don't care either. You know, but the point is that we really need to have this done. In Article 18, Section 3, it does specifically state that we can change the Constitution of California by amendment. The electorate has that problem, has that right. So I think that this is the way to move forward. I think something needs to be written. I think something needs to be written to where we have a paragraph or two that explains it, and we need to start finding out who wants in and who doesn't. Now, here's my second question on the initiative. Do we possibly suggest an initiative with more than one split? In other words, if we have Jefferson and say it ends up, now this is just hypothetically, it ends up at Yolo County. I'm not saying it does, but let's say it ends up at Yolo County. Would there be something for Central California and those in Southern California? I know this, that Riverside County is trying to create their own state, the State of Empire. And that's a lot of people have gotten that confused with San Bernardino. But Riverside is sort of a new gig. What's your thought process on all that?
Well, I think you have to give people alternatives. In other words, we can't say everyone in California vote for us to leave, and as long as we get ours, you'll be stuck with the remainder. You can't possibly do that and succeed, and it would be wrong anyway. So I think what we have to have is some mechanism where people are offered a series of choices where their vote in their county would result in their area becoming its own state, and our vote in our county in our area would result in it becoming its own state, and then we could go from there. So I think, yes, we have to present at least three alternatives, and Tim Draper tried to do this. I think that his effort had some flaws, but we could kind of model it after that, but there can't be these weirdo lines. I mean, the northern third is Jefferson, the middle third is whatever, and the southern third is whatever, I think is probably the way to go about it. And then you do what you need to do, because states are, as the founders called it, the crucible of democracy. And so you model your third as the type of state that you want to live in. And what that would do is diminish the voice of Sacramento and diminish the voices of some of these powerfully wealthy political people to affect events, because geography deserves representation as well. And Chief Justice Earl Warren was wrong when he said counties don't deserve representation, because in California, they are legal subdivisions of the state. Therefore, it is lawful for legal subdivisions of the state to band together to form a state that represents their values and their interests. And that's what I propose.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. But this is something that has to be pursued. And all of you that are listening, I hope you share this program, especially this part of it, because we've run out of stuff, folks. I mean, you know, I have a friend who does a radio program on another network, and we were discussing this very thing, and on his program, and it's really something to try to. I mean, I keep hearing, "Well, we need to fix California." It is impossible. It is totally impossible. We don't have representation. We don't have enough representation. It's too diverse. And as Marx was saying, I mean, we have reached the point of complete tyranny.
Mark, a question on your 2A lawsuit. Do you have a court date assigned yet for the next hearing?
Well, that is the $64 question, Janet, because here is how courts steal your liberty every day. They simply don't put something on the calendar that they know that their favored government entity is going to lose. We have not been calendared. It's been pretty close to 9 months now. We're trying to figure out a way to force them to calendar without removing the panel of judges that we've already been assigned. Because the beauty of the case is that original three-judge panel compromised of two Trump appointees and one Bush appointee, who gave us a unanimous decision based on the evidence we've already presented, we need that panel to be in charge of the case. They need to retain jurisdiction. And what we don't want to do is force a confrontation with the Ninth Circuit where they remove that panel and give us a different panel and then calendar the case with a liberal panel.
Hey, Mark, how close are any one of those judges, those three judges, to retirement?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Because
don't
that might
idea.
Be something they're waiting out on, is to see which one of them, if all of them are going to retire at any given moment, and then that goes away.
I don't think none of them struck me as terribly elderly, so I don't think that any of the three of them are very close to retirement.
Okay. I know that Judge Lawrence Van Dyke is relatively young, even for a judge. And how in the world did he get assigned to this case? He is a competitive shooter.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
The way he was assigned to the case was, you know, unfortunately for them, because they moved the appeal to the Southern District. And so Van Dyke was part of that rotation of judges. I mean, we got... God smiled on us. I think God
did.
Yeah. And he wrote that opinion, and it was masterful.
Yep.
He has written scathing opinions, and so has Judge Lee. He has written scathing opinions in favor of the Second Amendment. And Judge Smith is not as famous for his Second Amendment opinions, but nevertheless, he's a conservative that voted very solidly with a majority because he didn't even author any verbiage aside from that of Van Dyke. So the three of them were in unanimous agreement, and they were harsh on Judge Mueller for being a Democratic hack and a Democratic activist, and for the Eastern District being a court filled with Democratic activists, and they literally ordered her to do her job, and she ignored that order. And now the case is coming back in front of them, and they would certainly have an opinion about how she has acted in her denial of our constitutional guarantee to keep and bear arms.
Well, what she has done yeah. is not acted in good behavior.
Exactly.
A lot
That's
of them
exactly
do that.
Right. And even in her words, well, I'm bound to follow precedent from the Ninth Circuit. I'm bound to follow the orders of my circuit court. And then she completely ignored those orders. She said she was bound to follow Supreme Court precedent. She ignored Supreme Court precedent. She acted independently, and in addition to that, and this was pointed out so artfully by the Gun Owners of America and the Cal Guns attorneys when they wrote our amicus brief, she failed to answer the only question placed before the court. She never answered the question, is it unconstitutional to prevent people to openly bear arms in California?
You know,
he never answered that question.
Right. You know, and the thing is that Jana brought up a good point, because the Constitution specifically states that judges are to be judges as long as they are within good behavior. And
yeah.
And you said, but a lot of the judges are looking at behavior, and the law looks at it differently than what the Constitution meant. Can you kind of explain what you mean by that?
Well, the meaning of good behavior under Article 3 has morphed. Without the consent of the people and without the benefit of legislation or constitutional amendment, by the way, has morphed from good behavior to life. In other words, a term of good behavior into Article 3 courts now means life. It doesn't mean good behavior anymore.
Right. Okay.
That be challenged? Yeah, it certainly could be challenged. But that would be
it?
Another court case for another day, and it would cost millions of dollars. And believe you me, every judge on the court, even the Republican ones, even the conservative ones, would fight that one because it would affect them, too.
That's exactly right. And I think, anyway, folks, that's Article 3, Section 1, United States Constitution. And anyway,
that's how judges steal your liberty.
Exactly right.
Constitution.
Exactly right. And
the Constitution is what they say,
it is.
It means what they mean.
Right. And we heard her say that.
Yeah.
We heard her say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There's no such thing as a God-given right. There are only constitutional rights. She said that, too.
Yep.
Well, I can prove that's not the case. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they were endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Now, when was that founding document signed? 1776. When was the Constitution of the United States ratified? 1789. There are pre-governmental rights. And they are rights that are given us by God, and that's in black and white in the Declaration of Independence, our founding document. Without our Declaration of Freedom, we would have never gotten as far as having a constitution. So the Declaration of Independence, in the law and by law, is our founding document. Judges ignore that fact routinely. It was signed before government was invented. We had no Articles of Confederation. We had no constitution. We had no legitimate government in the United States when that document was signed. So it is pre-governmental. We have God-given rights, and I just proved it.
Yeah, I mean, there's, again, you know, I just don't see a peaceful end to this without state split. I haven't heard anybody come up with a solution.
State split would be a peaceful end to it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't see anything that would be a peaceful solution other than state split. You're right. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't see one. I know I heard a pundit who wrote a book on saving California the other day, and he was on a radio program, and it's, you know, how you save it. Well, we all need to be corporations, you know. I mean, that was what, okay. It was just the most absurd, but people swallow this stuff, Mark. They don't really know what's going on around them, and they swallow it. Now, we have about 4 minutes left, so I want you to bring us home on, give us a good bearism.
Well, freedom is not free. And I'd like to remind you that the Band of Brothers slogan came from the Battle of Agincourt in the 1500s. We are a band of brothers. We seek our liberty given us by our God. And to abandon the gifts given us by our God is a sin in and of itself. I am attempting to resurrect that liberty in California. The state has stolen it from us. We had unfettered, unlicensed, unpermitted open carry from before California was a state all the way up until 1968, and the final straw was 2012 when they banned the open carry of an unloaded weapon. So I'm trying to restore a liberty that was stolen from us about 11 years ago, you could argue, and I can do it. I'm winning. I have the case. The case has been proven. The appellate court, with the panel that's in charge of my case, agrees with me that the evidence is clear. I need money to bring this home. Please. I'm about $5,000 behind on the bills right now. Please help me to restore this liberty and start this ball rolling toward freedom and hopefully state split, which we can do. If we can win this Second Amendment case, we can certainly win state split.
And we can. So and the money can be sent to mailing address. Well, make it out to your checks out to PECAN, PECAN, in the check portion. And then in the memo portion of your check, the lower left, write 2A. That's all you need to do. Keep it simple. Write 2A. And then you can mail it to 14421. Again, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, like boy, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003.
And if you don't want to send a check, you can go to the website, To Keep and Bear, TOKEEPANDBEAR, all lowercase, no spaces, .com, and there's a donate button, and you can donate with your credit card, and it goes straight into the same account that PECAN account. It goes directly into that account. 100% of the money goes to the attorney and the court costs. No one else takes any money from that account. I don't get any. No one gets any. There are no administrative costs. It goes all to the lawyer. If you love your liberty, and if you want to try to restore it, please help me. And if we win this, we can win the rest.
Amen. Well, we just have a couple of more days until we have our election. And Mark, I think that many, many, many people are in agreement with you. The initiative is the only way we can go. I guess we need to start looking at it, and maybe we can find someone who's sitting across from me that could help us write some of that.
I'm illiterate.
I wondered how long it would take you to say that, Terry.
Well, you know, between the two of you, and then Wynn and I will sort of bumble along. Wynn will do less bumbling than I will. I'll bumble along. But yeah, we really need to get this done, folks. I mean, Mark, thank you. Bless you, brother. be talking to you real soon. And, you know, I think that time really has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.